Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Let's get into the Bible today. Genesis chapter 17 is where we will begin in verse 1. And the title I'm working with right now is Live Different. Live Different. And Genesis 17, I hope, will instruct us how to live different, how to live the way God wants us to live. Amen? And before I do that, can somebody just get excited about the violin that's joined us during worship? Yeah, I thought so. Hallelujah. Well, all right, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. Say that with me. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations, and I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, El Shaddai, Almighty God, you are awesome. And we are in awe of you and your power. Jesus, thank you for showing us that we could trust the Father as you trusted him fully. We can trust him too and all of his promises. Because of you, Jesus, because of what you've done and how you lived and what you sacrificed, what you sowed, what heaven sowed into the earth to rescue us, so there'd be many sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus. For you are the incorruptible seed. You are the Word of God. Holy Spirit, bring fresh revelation and understanding today that we may live different, that we may live the life you've called us to. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way today as I preach the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 99 years old. God appears to Abram. 99. I don't know, as I scan the room, that we have anyone that is over 99 years old. So, this story can speak to you. This story can instruct you today. This story can help you live different. If you let it, if you let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to you, you can learn something. You can apply something to live differently and see different results. 99 years old. God comes to Abram and reveals something new about him. A new name, El Shaddai. God Almighty, all-powerful, Abram, that's who I am. And I can fulfill the promises that I've given you. No matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the facts may say, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Shaddai, say it again. El Shaddai, say it again. El Shaddai. God reveals a new name describing his nature. What is the response of Abram? To bow down and worship him. To bow down and worship him. Church, this is what worship is. And worship is more than just singing. Worship is an attitude toward life, toward God. So you worship God as you work hard in your job, right? Because you are acknowledging God. It is worship when you acknowledge God before what you do. God, I'm living for you. I'm doing this for you. That is worship. And there is an aspect of worship that involves song. And God loves song. And He loves the strings and he loves the instruments. He calls for it. In fact, we know Elijah in 2 Kings, before he prophesied, he called for the musician. He called for the musician to come. Why? Because he was creating an atmosphere, as God did in this room as we sang together. As Tim pointed out, the atmosphere changes when you worship God. And it's when you change the atmosphere of your life, you can get a new, fresh rhema word from God that can change everything. And what was that rhema word? What was that word that he got from God? What was that instruction that he got? You are no longer Abram, which means exalted father. Pretty cool name. You're no longer Abram, but you are Abraham, exalted father of the nations. What? What was God doing? God was, once again, prophesying. He was prophesying over Abram that you are Abraham, the father of many nations, and you need to speak my word, because my word is what produces faith. We know that faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. So how does that practically play out for Abraham? Let's just get really practical and get some understanding of how this works. Words are powerful. There's the power of life and death from our tongue. James says the tongue is a small thing, like the rudder of a ship. The rudder of a ship directs a ship. So does your tongue. It directs your life. Just me sitting with you, hearing you talk, will tell me insights of where you are going in life. Your tongue, your lips. God spoke, and what happened? The earth was created. God uses these same spiritual laws, these same physics, and God created us in his image. We have been created in a way that can speak those things that aren't as though they were. Now, for us as believers, we go to God to find out what he wants so that we can speak the way he wants us. We don't just want our desires fulfilled. We want His desires because His desires are the best. Because when we get what God wants for our lives, it leaves no sorrows added to it. But when we get the desires of our heart that aren't God's desires, there's sorrows that are added to it. But not God's. Not God's purposes. He reveals who He is. And the response is, you are God Almighty. And I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. And as you worship Him and you magnify His name, when you magnify His name, as Jesus instructed us, church, this is how you pray. This is how you come to the Father. Abba, Father. Abba. One, He's approachable. It's Daddy. You're approachable. But that we don't get too casual or too comfortable with God as just being Daddy. He's Daddy who is in heaven. He is Almighty God. He's Daddy. Yes, He is. But He is Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And then He leads us into honoring His name. Hallowed be Thy name. Honor His name. This is before we get into asking, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. The Bible instructs us to enter His gates with thanksgiving, to enter His courts with praise. Paul says, he goes, rejoice. Again, let me tell you, rejoice. Why? Because it changes the atmosphere so that you can hear God. He is speaking in this atmosphere. Just like the prophet, I got to change the atmosphere. Bring the musician. If I'm going to hear from God, I got to change the atmosphere. You need to be concerned of what you're hearing in the midst of chaos. Especially if you've allowed chaos in your life. I heard this said by a pastor hero of Julie and I that you shouldn't make decisions in the midst of chaos. Do not make decisions in the midst of a chaotic situation. First, change the atmosphere. Drive it out. I've seen so many terrible decisions made in the atmosphere of fear. You're afraid and you make this decision. And then you put God's name on it. No, 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 no. You change the atmosphere. You drive the fear out. Don't ever think you're hearing clearly when you are gripped by fear. Get the fear out. It's like a truck in a country road driving down a dirt road, right? The dust is turned up. Do not make decisions until the dust settles. Let the dust settle. And one way you get the dust to settle, at least in your world, is you worship. You drive out the wrong spirits. You remember Saul, King Saul? He was tormented by spirits. And what did King David do? He wasn't king at the time. He was called for. He played music. He worshiped. And it drove the demons out. Church. Worship matters. Worship is our weapon. And the devil's doing everything he can to keep your hands on your sides, to not clap your hands, to not lift them up, to not open up your mouth. Because he knows when you open your mouth, when you exalt God, when you worship God, it changes things. It changes you. This is why we're so committed to worship. One, God deserves it. But we need it. We're in a battle. It's not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. When we worship, it's like warfare that's going on. We know in the Old Testament, they sent the musicians to the front line. Why? Because the battle is not, our victory is not in horses and chariots, but our victory comes from the Lord. Changes things. So worship. And the more you worship, the more you'll love it. It just gets better and better and better. In that atmosphere, God speaks. God spoke to Abram, you are Abraham. Now, how does that play out in Abram's life? He's 99 years old. And now he has to go tell his neighbors, his friends, his servants, his wife. I know for 99 years I've been Abram, but now I'm Abraham. First of all, it takes some humility. He doesn't have his own son with his wife. That's gone, right? I mean, he had an Ishmael. But now he's going around humbling himself, saying, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Well, what do we know about humility? God gives grace to the humble. God pours out his favor to the humble. So that very act is just an act of humility. How often does he run into somebody new that he has to now tell him, no, I used to be Abram, but now I'm Abraham. Okay, so there's humility that's produced. But then every time he says it, he hears it. He hears the word of the Lord every time he tells somebody that I'm Abraham. But then after that, what has he done? What has God done? What has Abraham done by obeying God? He's created an atmosphere. He's created an environment that he's constantly hearing the word of God. He's constantly hearing the word of God at the dinner table. Okay? He's there, and Sarah is saying, Abraham, pass the bread. Abraham, pass this. Abraham, do the dishes. Abraham, take out the trash. Abraham. Abraham is hearing the word of God, which is producing the faith necessary for Abraham to inherit the promise that God gave to him. See, we work with God. Yes. We are co-laborers with Christ. Yes. Abraham had a part to play. You and I have a part to play in seeing the will of God fulfilled in our lives and in the earth. And it comes from hearing God's word, hearing his instructions. But then once we have his word, we need to be reminded of his word so that we can keep the faith to hold on to the promise. We need to follow the example of our Father, the Father of our faith. He's hearing the word of God over and over and over again. All of his household, his servants, they're saying Abraham. They're prophesying it over him. They're speaking it over him. Church, God gave you a word. He gave you a vision. He gave you a vision. He gave Abraham a vision, didn't he? But the vision by itself wasn't enough. He needed The word. He needed the faith to believe the vision, that God was faithful to it. He wasn't trying. Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. He's not trying to make the vision come to pass. He's just believing the vision giver. He's having faith in the word of God, and he's hearing it being spoken over him. Live differently means talk differently, speak differently. The vision God gives you should change the way you talk. It should change the way you do life. It should change the way you hear things. But I want to focus on this one. I want you to get this one. Because there's other things it does. The vision does. But this one I want you to get today. I don't want you to leave today without making the decision. I'm going to talk different. I'm going to talk different. And if I don't know what the will of God is, and I don't clearly have a vision, then I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm going to exalt God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to change the atmosphere. I'm going to get into a place of worship. And you should come expecting every time we come together to worship together, you should come with an expectation that God's going to speak to you. And yes, we worship and it prepares our hearts to receive God's word. I'm just always amazed. And I'm so excited that I stay amazed that every week people come afterwards and they go, man, God spoke to me this way. God spoke to me this way. God spoke to me this way. And everybody's at different places, come from different backgrounds. I mean, so many times people go, Pastor, you wrote that message just for me. Sure. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. But how does that work? It's God. It's God. And worship prepares our hearts to receive the word from God. It prepares us. This is why you must learn this discipline. You must learn how to exalt God's name. You need to know God's names. You need to know Him. And if the only name you know is Jesus, well then just take Jesus and go, Jesus, you're awesome. Jesus, you're amazing. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, just say Jesus, okay? And He'll lead you to other parts of His name and God's name and His nature. But just take Jesus, okay? I mean, Jesus can be used and sung and spoken in so many different ways. It's amazing. And there is no name higher than that name. God Almighty made Jesus' name the name that's above them all. But as we exalt God and we are worshipers, we're going to hear God. And as we hear God, we can obey God. As we obey God, we see His promises fulfilled. We see the harvest to the things that we've sown. Worship is like the watering of the seeds that you've sown. I'm God Almighty. I made a covenant. I'm going to fulfill. Abraham, I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to worship you. Watering the seed of God's word that He would be the father of many nations. As you obey God, it's an act of worship. Every time you obey God, every time you listen to God, it's like water being released over the soil of your life, to bring nutrients and substance to cause those seeds that you've planted to grow and to be fulfilled. This is so important. You know, next month we have an amazing Christmas series that's in the works. It's going to be amazing, awesome, okay? Yes, I am speaking it forth, okay? I am prophesying how awesome and amazing our Christmas series will be. And you go, well, what if it's not that great? Well, it's gonna be, okay? It's already been settled. I spoke it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, it is written in the scriptures, I believed, so I spoke. Our faith is like this too. We believe and so we speak. We believe and so we speak. Now again, back to Christmas, and a Christmas story, Zechariah. Zechariah got a word from the Lord, didn't he? The angel of the Lord came to deliver a word. But what did Zechariah do with the word? He didn't believe. Thus, God shut his mouth. Because he didn't believe, he didn't speak. See, here's how I know whether you believe or not. It's how you speak. You say, I believe, but then I hear you talk about your circumstances in a way that actually doesn't believe what you said you believed. What I'm not saying is deny the circumstances, but it's how are you talking about them? What is the spirit in which you're talking? Is it a spirit of unbelief? Is it a spirit of grumbling and complaining? Do you know that you can share your circumstances in a way that is not grumbling or complaining or of unbelief? We looked at this last week. Remember Caleb? Caleb recognized there were giants. Caleb saw the same things that the other 10 spies saw. But Caleb talked differently about what he saw. He didn't deny there were giants. And guess what? The 10 spies didn't deny there was milk and honey. But it was the heart and what they believed. This matters so much to God. The angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah. If you don't know the story, it's a Christmas story that we share many times. An angel comes and says that you're going to have a son. He was like Abraham, not having kids, old age, right? Served God. He was in the midst of worshiping. Again, another point, right? Another one to make my point of he's in worship. He's going into the Holy of Holies. He's going into this place and God comes to speak to him. But he didn't believe. And so God said, you're not going to be able to talk because I can't have you speak death over your life and your wife. You know, some Christians just need to shut up. Until they believe. Because you're speaking death over you. You're prophesying failure over yourself and others. It's also important who you surround yourself with. Are you going to surround yourself with people that believe in Christ in you? That speak life over you? Because words matter. Right. Words matter. Zechariah, you ain't talking till this promise is fulfilled. Wow. I know what I'm talking about is contrary to the world. But God's called us to live different. And it's just not right. Your grumbling and complaining, your unbelief is sin. You go, well, come on, man, have some compassion and mercy. Here's the compassion and mercy. I'm going to tell you the truth. You need to start talking differently. Because you will not enter the promised land talking that way. Did the children of Israel? No. They never got in. Why? Because of the way they talked. It matters.
We believe in our heart and we speak. Or we doubt in our heart and shouldn't speak. Church, we're called to live different. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that have been set apart by God to do great and mighty things. But to be able to do those great and mighty things, you have to talk different. Because this is how God operates. This is how God works. And Abraham just gives us a great example of that. So what will you do? What will you do today with God's word and God's instruction? We've been seeking God for vision, asking God for vision. If you have a clear vision from God, you need to ask for that. Go, God, I want that. It changes you. You talk different, you live different. And I'm going to ask my wife, not because she's dressed so fine today, but because I want her to share a story, and then I'll share my side of the story. It's our story, and it's just God's faithfulness. And if God did it for us, he'll do it for anyone. And this applies to any area of your life. So give it up for my wife, Pastor Julie, she comes.
Years ago, as a single person, high school, college, I dated. I broke a lot of hearts, and I had my heart broken. I came into Bethel in Nashville while in college, end of my college years, and found my spiritual family, my tribe in every nation. And I saw men and women, husbands and wives, families passionately pursuing Jesus, on fire, on mission, loving him. And I said, that's what I want. That's what I want. What I've had relationally is not what I want. It has not worked well for me. This is what I want. And so I was given this book called Passion and Purity by Elizabeth Elliot. If you're a single person, read it. If you know a single person, buy it and give it. It changed my life in regards to dating. It was God's way. It's the story of Jim Elliot, the missionary Jim Elliot, and his wife Elizabeth, and she wrote it. And I read this book and I got a vision for what I wanted for my life. As for a godly man, the way it would happen. And so I said, that's what I want. That's what I'm going to have. I'm laying dating aside. I'm laying it down. I'm not going to do it. I don't want my story to be, I pursued him, I flirted with him, I threw myself on him, and that be my story. Nope, Jesus, that's not what I want. I want my every nation man to find me. The man's job is to be the pursuer. And he's going to find me. And when he finds me, he's going to find me pursuing Jesus, all in, passionate for him, loving others, loving him, sold out. That's what he's going to find. And that's what I did. I threw my life into ministry. I was ministry 7 days a week, serving families, serving the pastors, serving the church, giving it all, leading worship, serving in children's ministry, greeting at the door, serving. I mean, anywhere I could serve, I was serving. Anybody I could serve, I was serving. It was all in. People thought I was crazy. What are you doing? Julie, what are you doing? Why aren't you dating? Why are you at church so much? Why are you with another Bible study? Why are you leading somebody else to Jesus? Why are you, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm doing these amazing things and you're asking me what's wrong with me? Hello? I said, Lord, my every nation man's going to find me. That's what I prayed. My every nation man's going to find me. That's what I declared. My every nation man, he's going to find me. Months went by, years went by, another year went by, another year went by. My every nation man's going to find me. He's going to find me. September 1st, 1997, I'm sitting in the Every Nation office. I worked in the Every Nation office in Nashville. September 1st that day, 10 a.m., in comes into the Every Nation office this man who had driven through the night to come to Nashville, all the way from Michigan. God's just that big. All the way from Michigan, all the way to Nashville, walks in the Every Nation office. I was the very first person he met on the very first day he was in the city. 11 months later, August 1st, 1998, we were married. You can't make these things up. In our engagement, the Lord reminded me, and this is wild. I had forgotten about this. The Lord reminded me when I was 10 years old, when I was a little girl, 10 years old, I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, when I grow up, I want to marry a pastor. He reminded me of that in our engagement. And I said, Jesus, you're unbelievable. He gave me a vision. I spoke it. I declared it. I believed it. I changed the way I lived. I changed the way I talked. I could tell you probably about 50 other things I've believed and visioned for. God's faithful. He's forever faithful.
Amen. Amen. So my side of the story, when I went all in for Jesus in June of 1987, I put my future wife into God's hands, and I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm 14 years old at the time. And I, at that moment, just said, dating makes no sense for a 14-year-old. And that vision of my future wife, this godly woman who I prayed would be from the South, would be a worship leader, singer, would be just gorgeous, you know, just, I mean, you talk the list. I mean, it was like one in a million chances. And just gave it to him. Prayed for her many nights when I was in bed. Just got wherever she's at, protect her, prayed for her. But I didn't get distracted because it wasn't God's time. And then I graduated from Michigan State, and I had 7 opportunities to go different places, different jobs, and it was a big decision. This could take me in a lot of different directions, and so I sought the Lord, and I worshiped Him by fasting. You know, the act of fasting, if you decide today, right now, that from this moment until this moment tomorrow, you're not going to eat, you're worshiping God. It's a 24-hour worship. If you decide 48 hours, it's 48 hours of worship. If you decide 7 days, it's 7 days of worship. And in that worship, the Lord spoke to me and took what was actually option 7 in my mind, made it number 1, told me to go to Nashville. When we worship Him and we seek Him, He will speak to us. He's a rewarder. God's done it before. He'll do it again. He'll keep doing it. I hope today, I believe today, there are different principles and truths. There's no formula. This is a relationship. But there are truths that you need to grab hold of and bring into application in your life today. The Holy Spirit knows where you're at and what you need. So all you have to do is respond to that word today. Believe that word today and then declare it. Speak it. Sometimes you need to walk forward and come pray with somebody and speak the thing that you believe in your heart and come into agreement with the ministry team. Don't just leave it to yourself. Bring it in. What does the Bible say? When two or more are gathered in my name, I am present. But then when two or more agree on anything, it shall be done. Don't just agree with yourself. But go and get in agreement with somebody. Go speak what God's spoken to you.
These are those principles. Don't leave it just in here, and then by the time the end of the day, you're like, you just even forgot about it. No, get it. Grab hold of it. Put your trust in it. Put your weight in it. Let other people know. I mean, I when I tell people, like, I get a vision or a passion, like, for instance, I go, man, you know what? I'm going to get healthier, and I'm going to lose some weight. I think that. It probably won't go that long. But then I go, babe, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to get in shape. And I go, Pastor Kevin, team, I'm working out. I'm going to lose some weight. The more people I tell, the more I talk about it, you know what? The greater the chance of it actually happening. You keep it in front of you. You talk about it. Grab hold of God's word today. Speak it. Let it change you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.